Now, news broke over the weekend that President Donald Trump's oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., had met with a Russian lawyer during the 2016 campaign after she promised him damaging information about Hillary Clinton's campaign. The meeting included Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Chris Edelson joins us. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Government at American University. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, the headlines in the press calling this meeting a bombshell, but the president's chief of staff calling it a big nothing burger. How big of a deal is this news of this meeting with the Russian lawyer?
It's huge. Nothing like this has happened in American history. And in the context of what we already know, it's even bigger. I'm personally reeling from what's happened over the weekend.
Break it down for us. What is so incredible about this news?
So we've been hearing a lot about whether there was collusion between Russia and Trump campaign, and we know there have been contacts. We know that there were lies about the contacts. Initially, everyone in the Trump campaign said no one met with the Russians. Sessions testified about that. It wasn't true. They have. So now the question is, were they helping? Were they working with them? And this meeting is the first clear evidence that they were doing that. This meeting took place in June of 2016. Trump Jr. was there. Kushner was there. Manafort was there. Trump Jr. says by his own words, he says he was there because he was told somebody turned out to be a Russian lawyer who's close to the government in Russia, was going to give damaging information about Hillary Clinton. That's working with the Russians. That's what he was there for. Now, he says he's changed his story a couple times, but he admits that's what he was there for. The question is, did he get it? What exactly happened? What really happened? What did the other people know about it? But by his own words, he says he was there to get information from a foreign power that's hostile to the United States.
So tell us a little bit more about this meeting. It was presumed that this was going to be a time where there would be some opposition research on Hillary Clinton, but the meeting pivoted very quickly, I understand, from these accounts to adoption.
It's impossible to know exactly what happened because there have been multiple stories. I wouldn't use the term opposition research. It's too sanitized. Opposition research is something that's legitimate. This was information that he was going to get from a hostile foreign power. Initially, when the story broke, what Trump Jr. said was, oh, well, we spoke about adoption. Okay, that sounds innocent. It's actually not in the larger context. That's something that Russia did when it retaliated against sanctions that were imposed by the United States in the Magnitsky Act. But then he changed the story, and he said, no, I wasn't there to talk about adoption. I was there because this person, who turned out to be a Russian lawyer tied to the government, was going to give me information that was damaging to the Hillary Clinton campaign. That's not opposition research. That's information from a hostile foreign power. Like I say, there have been different versions of the story. We don't know exactly what happened, but that's what he says happened. His version now, his latest version is, I went there to get this information. She told me something about Hillary Clinton, but it was vague and confusing. And then we talked about the Magnitsky Act, which was a law that the United States passed to punish Russia for human rights violations that Putin does not like. Putin retaliated by prohibiting Americans from adopting Russian children. That's what's meant by the adoption part of the story. So that raises the question of a quid pro quo. Was the Russian lawyer saying to Trump and Kushner and Manafort, hey, if you drop the Magnitsky Act, we'll lift this ban on adoption? We don't know, but that's a question I would certainly want to find out more about.
What do we know about this Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya? What is her background in the Kremlin, too, with ties to the Kremlin?
Very connected lawyer, well-connected, represented businesses that are tied to the Kremlin. I think somebody, a child of a high-ranking official, if I remember correctly. She's certainly somebody who is an insider, and that's what we know. Was she there at Putin's request? Was she there because of someone else in the government told her to be? I don't know, but those are certainly questions that need to be asked.
So how do ethics experts say that Donald Trump Jr. should have reacted in this meeting when it went a different direction?
I mean, I think he should have reacted differently from the beginning. What people have been saying, so his position is, hey, what's the big deal? If anyone was told they would get information about their opponent, of course they'd go to hear it out. What Republicans are saying, Stuart Stevens, who was Romney's campaign advisor, John Weaver, who was advisor Republican campaigns, is no. When a hostile foreign power tells you, and by the way, he didn't know who he was going to be meeting with, apparently. He was told, you're going to meet with an unidentified person from Russia who will give you information. What these Republican operatives said is, you go to the FBI when that happens. That's dangerous stuff. So Richard Painter, who was the ethics lawyer for George W. Bush, said, you call the FBI. This is really... Russia is a hostile power. Russia has... We know now that they interfered with the 2016 election, but even before that, they're an authoritarian country run by a dictator, hostile to U.S. interests. Nobody, Republicans, understand this. This is not a friendly country. They're not an ally. They're an adversary. We're not at war with them in a shooting sense, but even before 2016, they were not a friendly country. So I think any country getting in touch using the context of a presidential campaign would raise really important questions about possible crimes. The fact that it was Russia, that's, you know, I think the response people have consistently given who are involved in politics, Republicans involved in politics, is you don't go to the meeting, you call the FBI.
And we're talking right now with Chris Edelson from American University about this news over the weekend that Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer during the 2016 election. And after he was promised this apparently disparaging information about Hillary Clinton. Now, as we look back in history, are there any comparable examples of similar meetings with foreign governments?
No, not really. I mean, that's part of what's so really hard to kind of grasp about this. Donald Trump Jr. is saying, oh, no big deal. People do this all the time. No, they don't. Nobody does this. It's never happened. The only example I can think of that's roughly comparable, and it's not a good example for the Trumps, is in 1968, Lyndon Johnson found out that the Nixon administration was secretly communicating with North Korea, North Vietnam during the Vietnam War to undermine the peace talks. Lyndon Johnson believed that was treason. I don't think what happened here meets the definition of treason. Again, we're not at war with Russia. It certainly raises questions about criminal activity, though, and it's just mind-boggling. I don't really have words for this. It is unprecedented. The only comparison, as I say, is the 1968 one. That one's not exact, but that's not a good comparison.
And according to Donald Trump Jr., the now President Trump knew nothing about this meeting. How might this meeting reflect back on the president, even though he wasn't personally there?
Well, we don't know, of course. So I'm a lawyer by background. When people say things that are conflicting, when they give different accounts, which Donald Trump Jr. has done, which Jared Kushner has done, which Michael Flynn has done, various people in the Trump administration have done, they lose their credibility. Donald Trump himself has done this. We don't know exactly what Donald Trump knew and didn't know. That's something we have to find out. So if I were an investigator involved in this case, either in Congress or in the Mueller team, I'd want to speak to the people who were there. You start with them. Let's try to get his story straight. What exactly happened? You have different accounts from Donald Trump Jr. There were other people there. Let's see what they said. Do their stories line up? And then let's find out, are they telling the truth? I mean, the obvious question I would have is Donald Trump Jr. trying to protect his father?
And do you see that the special investigation into Russia's role in the 2016 election, do you see the special investigators looking at this meeting? Do we have any evidence of that?
Well, of course, Robert Mueller's investigation is confidential. No one knows for sure what he's looking at. I'm just guessing that those are things he'd want to know about. In Congress, yeah, I saw Congressman Adam Schiff, who's the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, said, you got to talk to the people who were at the meeting. Of course, that makes sense. I also saw that, I just saw this, Donald Trump Jr. has hired a lawyer. Not surprising, because I think the expectation is he will be questioned about this.
We're talking right now to Chris Edelson from American University about the news that Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer during the 2016 election after he was promised some disparaging information about Hillary Clinton. Two members of President Trump's campaign staff also attended the meeting.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the news that came out this weekend? How do you think it'll affect the special investigation into potential Russian interference in the 2016 election? How does this reflect on President Trump and his campaign? Do you think there should be any action taken because of this news? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue this conversation and get to your calls in just a minute here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're picking up our discussion now about a meeting during the 2016 election between Donald Trump Jr., Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, and a Kremlin-tied lawyer who promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton.
You can join in now at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this news? What questions do you have? Is this a big deal in your mind or not? What would you like to see happen next when it comes to the special investigation, to how Congress reacts? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go right to the phones now with Kyle in Milwaukee. Hi, Kyle. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Chris, I was just curious on, you know, given the previous support that Trump has been given by his supporters, how do you think they should be reacting to something like this, and how do you think they will react?
Good questions. I think this is not a partisan issue. We should react as Americans. We should be defending our country, Russia, and this should be understood. This isn't the only story that came out over the weekend. We also saw Donald Trump meeting with Vladimir Putin, an authoritarian dictator, in Hamburg, and Donald Trump preposterously proposed setting up a joint cybersecurity project with Russia, which we know hacked and interfered with our election. So as Americans, I hope we'll stand up for our country. It's not a partisan issue. This has nothing to do with what you think about health care or taxes or anything like this. This has to do with where you stand on the United States and constitutional democracy versus Russian authoritarianism. Now, I don't know about Trump supporters. I know there are plenty of Republicans who understand this. David Frum, Evan McMullen, Anna Navarro, John Weaver, plenty of them who they understand this is not partisan. This is about the country. And I hope people will see that. And I think many do.
Kyle, thanks so much for your call. Let's take a moment here and talk about this cybersecurity unit.
Yeah.
President Trump tweeted yesterday morning that he and Putin had discussed forming this so-called unit. But then last night, the president tweeted again saying that just because he and Putin discussed this, it doesn't mean he thinks it can happen. Why the two different tweets?
Again, we were talking about credibility. The Trump administration, I'm sorry to say, the president himself, they're all over the place. You can never pin them down from one story to the next. And in fact, there's even been more news since then. I saw that Congressman Ted Lieu from California and Ruben Gallego from Arizona, I believe, are proposing legislation to block this, which suggests that they either think it's happening or it is happening, that the administration is proposing this. It's bizarre. I mean, people have made all kinds of comparisons. They said this is like after Pearl Harbor going to Japan and saying, let's set up a joint project to prevent attacks against the United States. I mean, this was not fortunately, people weren't killed in the Russian attack, but this was a former head of the CIA, Michael Morell, said this was the political equivalent of 9/11. So to suggest, even whether to propose it or suggest it or even just think about it, to work with the Russians, who we know have interfered with our election and tried to undermine our constitutional democracy, to suggest we would work with them is really, I was physically affected for 24 hours at least after that. I mean, my body didn't feel right. It's really upsetting and disturbing stuff. And again, many people understand this. Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator from South Carolina, said it's maybe not the dumbest idea I've ever heard, but it's pretty close.
Let's take another.
You said something similar, and Ben Sass as well. So there are people who understand this.
Let's go to Jim now in Eau Claire. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think Russia is a hostile foreign power. We have detente with them, and they vote with us often on the UN Security Council. I mean, they've done some things against us, but we don't really know that much that this woman, a lawyer, actually has proven ties with the Kremlin. It's a lot of assumptions there.
She does have ties with the Kremlin. She's represented businesses that are owned by the state. She represented someone who's a child of a government official. We do know that Russia is a hostile power. John McCain, who's a Republican senator from Arizona, said Vladimir Putin is a thug, a murderer, and a bully. Anyone who tells you differently is lying. Russia is an authoritarian regime. There's a divide in the world right now between democracies and authoritarianism. Putin's on the wrong side. The idea that the United States could be allied with Russia is really a dangerous one.
Critics are pointing out that the Trump family stories about Russia seem to be changing quite a bit. What do you think about that criticism, and what about these changing positions on Russia?
Well, as I said, it raises credibility concerns. I don't know when Donald Trump Jr. says one thing one day and one thing the next day. He's actually said three different things. In March, he said, I never met with anyone from Russia in the context of the campaign. Then he said, yeah, I did, but we just talked about adoption. And then he said, no, actually, I was there because I thought I'd get damning information about Hillary Clinton. It's impossible to know what to believe, but there are credibility problems across the administration, whether it's Trump Jr. He's not in the administration, but he obviously was involved in the campaign and close to his father, Donald Trump himself, Jared Kushner, Michael Flynn, who left the administration. It's Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, who testified before the Senate in his confirmation hearings that he didn't meet with Russians, but later had to amend that. This is very sad to me as an American. It's impossible to know what's right.
Chris, what are you watching for as the story continues to unfold?
I'd say two things mainly. One, which is hard to watch because it's mainly behind closed doors, what is the Mueller investigation going to do? Robert Mueller, the former FBI director under George W. Bush, who's investigating possible criminal activity associated with the Trump campaign and the Trump administration, what will they do? It's hard to know. We can't really know until he's done, probably. The second question is, will Republicans in Congress take action? I mentioned some who are clearly disturbed about this. They're saying things that are suggesting they're concerned. Are they going to take any actions based on that?
Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
That was Chris Edelson. He's assistant professor in the Department of Government at American University. He joined us to talk about news that Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer in 2016 after she promised damaging information about Hillary Clinton.